morning. Pastor Dave said that his gray hair was making him go senile, and my pregnancy brain is in full flare today, so this should be fun. So I'm in a class right now where we are challenged to create catchy titles to the sermons that we are asked to work on so that the topic will be memorable for the people who are hearing it. And this sermon didn't really need a title. Pastor Denny had already set the flow of the sermon series. But just for the challenge for myself, I decided I'd take what I was working on and see if I could give it a catchy title. So for the sake of practice, I've named what I'm talking about the Hangry Israelites. If you're not familiar with the word hangry, neither is my computer. Every time I typed it, I got one of those red squiggle marks, and it would give me two suggestions. It would give me the alternative spelling of either angry or hungry, which is actually what this newly created word is meant to mean. It's meant to mean that you get angry if you're hungry. You might be one of those people. Maybe you know somebody who does that, that gets a little angry when they're hungry. I see some nods. For me, it's my husband, John. If ever after a Sunday service, you see him kind of sitting in the pew, slowly looking annoyed and frustrated that I'm not done talking with whoever I'm done talking with yet. It's not because he's annoyed or angry. It's just that he's hungry. It's lunchtime. Passion play, we bring a little snack bag for him because otherwise I'm not sure what would unfold. So George, if you're in here, the crumbs of goldfish, that's us, not somebody else. Snickers has played into this concept. If you've seen any of their commercials, I've got nods for that one too. Their catch line for their commercials, they started, I think, last year at the Super Bowl. That's when the first one went really big. And their catch line is, "You're not you when you're hungry. You need to grab a Snickers." The one that I like the most is the Brady Bunch theme commercial that they did. And in that one, Marcia turns angry because she's rather hungry, and she turns into this angry-looking man from Sons of Anarchy, Danny Trejo, who is wielding an axe and, like, throws it into the coffee table, and then the mom and dad are like, "Marcia, hon, I think you need a Snickers," and then they hand it to her. She bites into it, and she turns back into herself. And this is a great display of someone being hangry, but I think another really great display of being hangry are the Israelites in the Exodus 16 passage. And so that's where we're going to look today as we continue to look at the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to go back into the Old Testament also. So if you have your Bibles with you or want to turn to it, it's Exodus 16. I'm just going to first start with the first couple of verses. This is at the point when the Israelites are just coming out of Egypt with Moses and Aaron, and they are in the desert, and it starts in the middle of verse 1. "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat, and we ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.'" The Israelites were grumbling and complaining about their current situation, so much so that they were making their past bad situation seem really good now in light of their new situation. They even said, "There we sat by pots of meat and ate to our full." They were angry and they were hungry. They were hangry. So out of this hangry state, they are about to learn a powerful lesson. It's one that the disciples would also learn through the guidance of Jesus when he taught them the Lord's Prayer. "Give us today our daily bread." They are about to learn about God's hand as the role of provider in their everyday lives. Similarly, we, just like the disciples, we also need to learn about being reliant on God for daily provision. So let's continue with the Israelites' story. We're still in chapter 16 of Exodus, and at verse 4. "The Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. And in this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And on the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' And so Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gave you meal to eat in the evening and all the bread that you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the clouds. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and it covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. And the Israelites did this as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And they measured it by the omer, and one who gathered much didn't have too much, and the one who gathered little didn't have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. And then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until the morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until the morning. But it was full of maggots and had begun to smell. And so Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leader of the community came out and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is to be the day of the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil and save whatever is left and keep it until morning. And so they saved it until morning, as Moses had commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground tomorrow. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. And then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day, and no one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israelite, they called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. So it's a rather long passage, but I wanted you to hear it because we're going to look a little bit deeper into it, because we can learn a lot from Exodus 16. We can learn about the pitfalls and the practices that one needs to be aware of when learning to be reliant on God for daily provision. So one pitfall that we see the Israelites face, and one that we can face when trying to rely on God for daily provision, is that we often fail to even recognize where provision comes from. The hangry Israelites were grumbling and complaining, and they were doing it against Moses and Aaron. They thought they were the cause of their situation. They were mad at them for not giving them what they thought they needed during this hard time. But it wasn't Moses and Aaron where provision came from. And Moses tries to set them straight. In verse 7 and 8, which we read, it said, in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. And then he even goes on, he says, who are we that you should be grumbling against us? It's not us, we're not your providers. And he said, you'll know it's the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the morning, or in the evening, and bread in the morning, because he heard your grumbling against him. And the Israelites are not alone in the confusion of understanding where provision comes from. We live in a culture that points us in all different type of directions when it comes to where should provision come from. We look towards others. We look towards the government. We look towards personal effort, towards ourselves. Sometimes we just expect it or think we deserve it. And we see the Israelites struggle with this more so than just grumbling and complaining because they think Aaron and Moses are their providers. But they struggle with it later in the story when they rely on themselves for provision. Because all of a sudden this manna is falling and they're like, go gather more. Because they think they might not have what they need for tomorrow. So they try to collect manna to provide for themselves for additional days. But it doesn't last because it's not them that they should be relying on for that provision. And Jesus reminds us of this too. In Matthew 6:31, he reminds us that the Lord is our provider and we are supposed to turn to him and rely on him for daily provision. This is a very familiar passage about not worrying about tomorrow, so I'm going to read it from the message just so that you can hear it in a new way this morning. And at Matthew 6:31, Jesus says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works, they fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. We know God, and he is our provider. We know that he is where provision comes from. Another reminder to simply help us recognize this, to recognize that provision comes from God, is simply to even look at the prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples. Whose prayer is it? It's the Lord's prayer, because he is the one that we go to for provision. He is our provider. So as we learn to rely on God for daily provision, we learn to recognize that it is through him that provision comes. Another pitfall that we face when learning how to rely on God for daily provision that we can learn from the Israelites is that we don't always acknowledge that the things that are happening in front of us are even provisions. Every time in that passage when God is referring to what he is sending to the people, he calls it bread from heaven. But what's great is what the people call it. They call it manna, which literally means, what is it? And how often, I wonder, are there provisions in our lives we're seeking, we're wanting, we're asking God for in prayer, and then we say, where is it? It's there, but we're missing it. Or maybe it truly is right below our nose. We don't even recognize it as a provision, and maybe we are saying, what is it? There's a familiar fable that explains how naive we can be at recognizing the provision that God is giving us that's sometimes right before our eyes. And you may have heard this because it's pretty familiar. And it's about a guy who is in a flood. He knows that this flood's coming and he prays, God, save me. And so God hears his prayer because that's what our God does because he's the provider. And he sends first a canoe. And the canoe goes by and the guy's like, no, don't worry. My Lord is going to save me. And then next thing you know, a boat comes by and they're like, get in. He's like, no, I've prayed to my Lord. He is going to provide. He will save me. And then the next thing you know, a helicopter comes by because the flood is getting so high and he's on his roof and same thing. Come on. They throw down a rope. Climb up. We'll save you. No, you don't need to save me. My Lord is going to save me. I've prayed for that provision. And the man, sadly, ultimately drowns in this flood and he gets up to heaven. And his first question to God is, why did you not save me? Why did you not provide for me? I asked of this. And God replies simply, I sent you a canoe, a boat, a helicopter. What more were you looking for? So in order to begin relying on God for daily provision, we need to open our eyes to start acknowledging that provision might already be happening and existing around us. Because he is a provider, and he does it daily. I think another pitfall that we face when trying to learn how to rely on God for this daily dependency of provision is just that. We don't like to depend on others. We struggle with dependency. This is evident, again, with the Israelites and their collection of the manna when they were told only to collect one day's worth and they go out and try to do it. They didn't follow the instructions. Nope, they saved for tomorrow what they thought they needed. They didn't want to depend on God's everyday provision. Instead, they depended on themselves. And we do this too. We do it a lot. We shy away from dependency. And I think for all of us, it's different reasons. It might be pride. We don't want others to think that we aren't capable of providing for ourselves. Sometimes it's fear. We're just straight out honestly nervous that we won't have what we need when we need it. Others, it might be trust. You've depended on somebody before that's let you down, and so the thought of having to depend on God just doesn't sit well with you because you haven't experienced that in a positive light. There are many hurdles in our lives that can make dependency not attractive to us, and we live in a culture that really glorifies self-sufficiency. So to rely on God for daily provision, we need to become okay with being dependent on Him. And the Exodus 16 story not only gives us awareness of some of the pitfalls that we face when trying to learn how to rely on God for daily provision, but we also gain understanding on the practices that we need to develop when learning to rely on God for His daily provisions. And so first, we need to go back to that very basic thing to recognize the Lord as our provider. In the book of Nehemiah, he reflects on the Exodus story, and he gets it. It's no longer, hey, Aaron and Moses didn't give to the people. He now sees that God is provider. And so when he reflects on this story, Nehemiah says in chapter 9, verse 15 and 20, "In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven. And in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and possess the land that you had sworn with upended hands to give them. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen." When Nehemiah recounts the story, he recognizes God is their provider. And he even notices, and I love this, that throughout the whole story, the Israelites never call it bread from heaven. It's always manna. And yet when he's recounting the story, what does Nehemiah call it? Bread from heaven. Because he recognizes that the Lord is the provider. And we need to learn to give God that title too. Call Him provider. We need to recognize that He is truly where provision comes from. And our actions often suggest that we struggle with this. It's really easy to just say, yeah, I call Him provider. I say it in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. I know that He's the one that it comes from. I'm one of those people, though, that if I want to understand something, I often look at the negative side of things, like what is it not, in order to have better clarity on what it is. And so a lot of times if I want to understand what God is and who He is, I will say, okay, what is He not? And so in this case, if God is a provider, I started thinking, what would it mean if He didn't provide? And if you look up the antonyms to provider, they are things like withholder, refuser, neglecter, depriver. And I would never intentionally give those attributes to God, and probably a lot of you would not do that either. Yet sometimes I treat Him that way. I don't realize that my actions are choosing to not give Him the title of provider, but that they're doing the alternative. So that when we save manna for tomorrow, we treat Him as if He may withhold something from us. Or when we try to sustain ourselves, we act as though maybe He's neglecting us. Our actions can unintentionally tell Him that He is not our provider. But we need to recognize that He is, both in our words and our actions. And He's not just our provider, that's the best thing, He's our daily provider. And God was trying to teach the Israelites this point with the manna. He told them to not store it up beyond a day. And it's not because manna had like a short shelf life or something. You know, when He said you could collect it for 2 days, it lasted. So why was He instructing them with that? It's because He wanted them to cast their dependency on Him each and every day. And if you follow the story, you see that God did provide manna for them each and every day. He provided it to them all the way up until they had a new way to have that provision come in their lives. In Joshua 5, 11 through 12, we learn about the day the manna stopped. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land, and there was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce from the land. So we need to trust that he is our provider, that he does it daily. But another thing that we can practice and learn as we learn to rely on God is that he also is a good provider. In the very beginning of the passage, if you remember, God didn't just give them manna. They were grumbling about their situation in Egypt and thinking it was better. And did you catch what God first provided them for their meal? They got quail. Nice switch up before they start getting this bread every day. But I thought it was interesting that quail, when I was looking into it, that it's an Egyptian delicacy. It's a bird that when they migrate, they only land ever so often. So they weren't that abundant. And so they were an Egyptian delicacy. And it doesn't say that this is the case. But if God's provisions are always for our good to help us understand and learn something for ourselves, I wonder if quail was maybe a lesson for them. That as they were eating it, you know, maybe they were thinking, you know, God's like, remember that delicacy back in Egypt? No? Right, you were slaves. You didn't have delicacy as part of your menu. Because there they were thinking it was a great thing they should go back to, and all of a sudden their first meal, maybe it reminded them that it wasn't that great and that they were in good hands with the Lord. And was that the reason? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe quail was just on hand for God that day. We don't know. But we do know that he is providing for us for our good. And God meets more than a need, but he often provides a lesson. And we realize that in Deuteronomy 8:16, when Moses is recounting this provision of manna from the wilderness, and he says, "You gave manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you." And Jesus helps us to try to understand that his provisions are good by saying, "Who among you would give your children a stone when they ask for bread, or give them a snake when they ask for fish? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him?" If we are to rely on God for daily provision, we need to recognize that he is provider, that he's our daily provider, and that he is a good provider. That's what gets us to want to pray to him for the provisions in our lives. And lastly, we can't help to learn the practice of relying on God for daily provision unless we also remember and recount the times that he's provided for us before. That really helps. The manna story is recounted by Nehemiah not just because he needed a story, but he was with a people group who were having to rely and depend and trust in the provision of God for rebuilding walls. And so he tells them that story, reminds them it's happened before. And one of my favorite Bible stories, and the women who were on the women's retreat got to hear this recently, but one of my favorite Bible stories comes out of Matthew 16 when Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. And Jesus is discussing about the yeast of the teaching of the Pharisees, and the disciples aren't getting it. They're concerned that they forgot to bring bread into the boat with them. And you'd think that if there was one group of people who were really good at relying on God for daily provision, it would be them. Especially because one chapter before they watched him feed the 4,000, and a chapter before that they watched him feed the 5,000. And yet, they're not recalling that past provision of God in their lives. Instead, they're worried about their lack of preparation. And I love the conversation that Jesus has with them because he totally pauses on the topic of the yeast and the Pharisees and he reminds them of his past provision. Jesus knows what they're discussing and he says, "Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves that fed the 5,000 and how many baskets of leftovers did you gather? And the 7 loaves that fed the 4,000, how many large baskets were left over that you gathered? And I can just hear them answering as Jesus pauses after each question. 12, 7. They had forgotten about the provision of the Lord in their lives. And if we forget about the past provision in our lives that the Lord has given us, it makes it hard to continue to rely on him daily for his provision that is good. The disciples were still learning this foundational lesson when they were in the boat with Jesus. It's one the hangry Israelites had learned way back when in the wilderness. And it's what Jesus was trying to teach them in Matthew 6 when he's teaching them the Lord's Prayer. And the line that's trying to teach that is when he says, "Give us today our daily bread." And there's great emphasis on the daily component of God's provision in that prayer. He says it twice. He didn't need to. He says today and daily. Daily bread suggests it comes daily, and yet he emphasizes today, give us daily bread. He's trying to help them learn, just as the Israelites did, that God is a daily provider. And we also see the plural nature. Pastor Denny, his first sermon, talked about that with the Lord's Prayer. We see that often, that it says, give us our daily bread. I don't think we avoid the pitfalls or learn the practices that help us rely on God daily for provision on our own. We need each other. If we are to be part of, maybe we are to be part of the provision that God even provides to each other. When I hear that line from the Lord's Prayer and I think daily bread, I'm not sure what image comes to your mind, but I think of a loaf of bread. I can't eat a whole loaf of bread in a day. I'm not sure if any of you can. If so, props to you. But I can't. And I think that maybe the daily bread is meant to be shared so that our bread can help be the provision for others. Because it doesn't say, give us, Lord, give us today our daily slice. That would be interesting, but it doesn't. It's bread. It's bigger than that. And bread. Why bread? Culturally, yes, it was a staple element to them. Wheat was a prominent crop in their time. But it doesn't mean that today's gluten-free preferences or those with wheat allergies gets to nix this line out of their Lord's Prayer. It's more than just a physical provision. It's more than just bread. It's spiritual provision. Jesus refers to himself as bread, the provision from heaven that eternally satisfies us. In John 6, he says, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that whoever eats from it will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Bread from heaven. Then it was manna. Bread from heaven now is Jesus. Our daily provision. Good in its physical, spiritual, and eternal. When I woke up this morning, I have a daily devotion that shows up on my phone. And I love when God kind of just gives you a little reminder like, yeah, that's what I want you to talk about today. Because the title was Jesus is the Manna. I was like, that's awesome. But it's true. Give us today our daily bread. So let us learn from the Israelites and their experience with the manna and avoid the pitfalls that they faced. And let us do as the disciples were instructed to pray. Pray for the level of dependency that requires God as our good and daily provider, who has provided for us before and will continue to provide for us. Amen.